Okay, everybody back?
Yep.
Great, good.
Here.
Okay, so are there any announcements?
I sent out an email this morning that included a repeat of an email I sent out a while ago about the NESTA Climate, Atmosphere, and Ocean Charathon at NSTA and sort of nudging people to do that, and also noting that the GSA session proposals are due a week from today. And I don't know if there's interest in that or not, but if there is, people ought to act on it.
Due a week from today?
Yeah. There's not much to a session proposal, so it's pretty easy to put together.
Well, we could. I mean, I'm willing to put together a draft of I think, I don't know, Don, maybe you know more than I do about what might be more appropriate, but I would put together one proposal on climate. Does that make sense, or would multiple proposals make
Well, I think one proposal is the right number. And this past year, there were a lot of education sessions that failed because there were too many similarities between them. So I think if one goes in and it gets a whole lot of submissions to it, then it can be split into two. But I think it'll be better off to go that way, because if two go in and they both fail, they probably would end up being combined. But you know, why bother to
what
do that
is
extra
process?
Work?
Do they tend? I mean, AGU tended to approve all sessions and then just saw what the market bore before they.
Yeah, that's basically the way GSA goes as well, though that might change this year because we had a lot of sessions fail last year at a large venue, and in Minneapolis we had considerably more space than we're going to have in Charlotte for this coming year. So I think virtually every session will get accepted to, you know, go out to the membership, but there's danger of them failing if you don't do good recruitment. So
there's actually I'm on the NHET Executive Committee. Of course, Tamara is too, and I don't know if you've got any of this email on this, but there's actually some effort by GSA, GeoEd, and the committee to try to organize.
That's right. Yes. Yeah.
Education. So if you just put in the session sort of cold, it's sort of hard to know exactly what's going to happen. There's going to be some sort of managerial oversight before they decide to accept sessions. So, yeah, I think fewer is better.
Right. So we could. Well, I guess the reason I'm asking is that how you title it. I mean, I guess I would do what we did for AGU, which was to start with the term climate literacy, but then have a phrase. And for AGU, we had a group of different sessions, and some of them got combined, but we did have one focused on undergraduate and one focused on K-12 and one focused on informal and then one focused around research. And if we want to do just one, what might be, I mean, maybe Mike, you can give us a sense of what might be the best way to position this.
Oh, good question.
Doug, Don, how many sessions do you think GSA would be open to, just from a?
Well,
we had a ton for AGU.
We got, so just so everybody has some perspective, we submitted seven sessions, which did get combined into five, and we had 107 papers submitted to those five sessions.
I'm trying to remember the total numbers on education sessions this year. There were more, the last few years, there have been more sessions in Geoscience Ed than in any other division. But I'm thinking the total number of Geoscience Ed sessions was around 30. And there were 10 of those were ones that were combined sessions from from failed sessions, from like 30 failed sessions, something like that. So, you know, my gut says, and I don't think any of them were climate change ed. And I know I looked at this a while ago, and I don't believe any of them were about climate change. So I would be hesitant to go from zero to a bunch in a in
right.
No, I'm actually I'm not actually
where,
advocating going
yeah.
to a bunch. I'm sort of
yeah.
trying to pull how we position
right.
this. So not just if GSA is just going to really just accept what we submit, then the question is what kind of title will attract the largest number of papers.
Yeah, well, I think something along the lines of climate literacy strategies and resources or something like that is a, you know, generic title that, and, you know, and then within the session, the organizer would put things in a, you know, within the session group, the higher ed and middle school and whatever.
Well,
the thing is,
by making it too generic, people might not see, well, unless, as long as there's only one. I mean, one of the things that I realized at AGU was that, well, we had our set of five sessions. There was two or three other sessions that I knew were aligned with one of ours.
Right.
But people coming in not knowing, they would get confused as to where to submit their
yeah.
abstracts.
Yeah.
So Don, am I hearing that you're advocating for one of session like this to go from zero to one out of 30?
Yeah, I would say one or two, and you know, recognizing that I'm on the organizing committee,
yeah.
if there are two and not enough, I would know who you all are.
Right.
Well, I guess the one distinction that might make sense is to have one focused on formal education, which would include both
yeah.
K-12 and undergraduate, and then one sort of a broader context, which would be informal education and research,
mm-hmm.
educational research.
Well, Tamara, the one of the sessions that I really liked at AGU was with the research base. What is the research? What evidence do we have? Kind of one. That one really worked nicely as one, and then, you know, more practice-based as opposed to research-based.
Yeah,
like,
well, what I'm trying to get, I agree that could work, and actually, once we have abstracts, it would be I would suggest dividing them in that way. However, in terms of attracting papers, is what I'm concerned about.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Does two make sense? One that's focused on formal education in the entire range of context, and then another one which we can further debate how it's actually positioned?
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I do know, too, you know, I've looked at some of the proposals that have come in already, and I do know there's going to be a proposed session on teaching controversial issues, which could also be of interest to some folks, including me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'll be doing them. Marcellus Shale related thing in that session.
Well, I mean, the other thing to do is to put all the venues for education into one session, so formal and informal together in one proposal, and then the other proposal, the research base and evidence of progress, so the Ed Mabox and Tony Leiserwitz kinds of papers.
Mm-hmm.
Could be another session. How does that distinction sit with everybody?
I think it worked really well at AGU to have those types of different sessions.
All right. Well, let's see. I can see if I can draft a couple of proposals. Don, it was in your email that described how the extent.
Yeah, there's a link to the place. I mean,
okay.
There's not really a description in my email, but there's the right link.
All right. I'll go and I'll write up a couple of things and circulate it, and then maybe we'll try to finalize a couple of proposals. before the deadline. Which, Don, what's the date of the deadline?
It's a week from today. It's January 10th.
January 10th. Okay.
Hopefully, Tamara, some of the AGU language that we used when we proposed sessions last time should be useful.
Yeah, you're right. And we can go to what actually attracted lots of abstracts. So I can go back and look at that, too. Okay, great. Thanks a lot, Don.
Thank you.
Any other announcements?
I'm assuming everybody already knows about the CSEP phase two, right?
Yeah, well, I figured we'd get to that.
The one announcement I do want to say is Scott Carley on the call today?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, Scott. So I just wanted to announce that I think the consensus on climate literacy translation in Spanish is still leaning towards cultura as the word for literacy. It shouldn't be too long, but I just wanted to throw it out there that we're still buttoning this down. And the other piece is that the energy literacy, it looks very favorable that we'll have a final clearance in the near term. I've got
in the White House?
From the White House, yeah.
Excellent.
OSTP.
And how? What's near term? Like weeks?
It could be you know, now that we're done the holiday sessions, and all that stuff. It could be any day now. But every indication I have is that it's going to be a green light, not a yellow or a red.
Okay.
And when it happens, some of these things are hard to get buttoned down as much as you try. So. But I'll be with Michelle Fox on the 10th, so I should know something before then. So I guess by the next call, I should have a firmer idea of really what the next steps are. I know that they're working on the layout of the final text.
Mm.
So hopefully it should be soon.
And just so everybody knows, even though they haven't been totally finalized and approved yet. In the CLEAN project, we are retagging the energy resources with the last draft that we had got a hold of, and are anticipating not any major changes.
And didn't we also, I think one of the last things Mark did was he provided, because Ted Willard had asked for, to help him start getting the alignment with the benchmarks moving
mm-hmm.
ahead. So I believe Ted is working on that with some of the last.
He's supposed to. I mean, that was planned in the budget that he would be doing that.
Yeah,
and
I think. But I think
Howe is doing the alignment of the existing resources in the collection with the new energy. Anything that's tagged with energy is
right.
Now being revisited with the new ones in mind.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Although Tamara, there might be some interesting given some of the essential principle 1, 2, or 3. There might be some climate ones that get a double link, so we may have to look at that. But that's a step in the process.
Oh, it's ones that are identified with climate literacies that might get linked with energy also that weren't before.
Yeah, because remember, essential principle 1 of climate is very similar to. Aspects of one of the pieces of fundamental concepts.
Well, that's true. We should.
Yeah, I'm just
it.
You know, we this is we can do this in steps. That's something we have to gobble up all at once.
Yeah. Okay.
Frank, if I remember, the energy literacy has already been approved by the same set of organizations that approved the climate literacy. So we're really the White House is sort of just the cherry on the top.
Well, it's a little bit more complicated because there was some question about whether USGCRP had purview over the topic of climate. I mean, of energy literacy, and that came from OMB, and it started getting real complicated, more complicated than climate, and we seem to have nipped all of that in the bud. We have cleared the U.S. Global Change Research Program, but it's probably not going to come out as a U.S. Global Change Research Program document like climate literacy is, but it will have the same logos. It just won't have the additional U.S. Global Change Research Program logo.
Okay.
But, these are all in the final decisions.
Okay. Good. Very good.
Okay, are there any other announcements before we get on to the new solicitation? Okay, well, we'll move on to, as everybody, I think it was Christmas Eve that the solicitation, CSEP Phase 2 solicitation came out. And for anybody who is interested, there's going to be an informational webinar on January 11th run by NSF. You have to email Carolyn Wilson. I could send out the information on the list. I'm going to have to leave for the airport as soon as our call is over. So if somebody else could offer to send out the link to the information for getting on the webinar, that would be great. Otherwise, I'll try to do it.
I can do that later on once I get back to email.
Okay, great. Thanks. So the solicitation is out. It very much addresses the Phase 1 CSEPs and what their mandate was to prepare for. There is also going to be, as a component of this, the Climate Change Education Partnership Alliance. And so I don't know if other people have thoughts or interests. One of the things, CLEAN was identified along with CAMEL and the STEP Center as groups that the proposer should look to partner with. One of the things that I've thought that certainly I've talked to a number of different CSEP Phase 1 PIs and co-PIs about providing the CLEAN services for reviewing resources and providing other kinds of services. So one of the things that I thought we would do and specifically obviously invite everybody from the Climate Literacy Network, we'd have it on this call, but invite all of the CSEP Phase 1 projects to come to our call where we would actually give an overview of the kinds of services that CLEAN can provide their efforts. So that's one of the things I just thought of in the last couple of days. So, Scott, we're going to have to get that on our teleconference calendar at some point pretty soon.
And I suspect before the 24th of January, which is the date for the letter.
Yes, it's actually not critical for that because the letter of intent, well, yes, it would be good to be included in the letter of intent. It's not absolutely necessary.
Anyway, we should schedule it as soon as
we can. Yeah, absolutely. I think that there's one week in January we don't already have a presentation, other than today, that we already have a presentation scheduled. So I don't know, Frank, do you want to, or anybody else who has thoughts about the solicitation that's out now?
Well, I mean, the synergetic activities is a really interesting opportunity for us because the parallels between the Climate Literacy Network and the Climate Change Education Partnership Alliance, there should be some alignment or some relationship between these. They're not 100%, but there definitely should be some relationship there. And then the synergetic activities, if I remember right, is what CLEAN and CAMEL and others are connected with. So I think that there's wonderful opportunities there for you know the work that we're doing. It's going to, I think the thing is for sure, when is the full proposal due? Somewhere in March?
Yeah. March 24th, if I'm remembering. Jeff, you might read.
Something like that, yeah.
March
21st. March 21st,
okay.
I think that probably, how we structure our conversations in the near term, in the February timeframe, and allowing people purview to kind of kick things around and talk things through and mm-hmm. network and find different pieces of the work is going to be important.
Right. But we have a lot of the CSEP Phase 1s giving talks in the next in January and February. And
right.
We can certainly invite, others who are interested in partnering with some of these groups.
Right.
One of the things that I really wanted to to try to, as Frank mentioned, the Climate Literacy Network is an audience that is somewhat different, but very complementary to the CSEP Phase 1 activities. And what I see this as an opportunity to potentially meld the two communities in a way that allows each of the regional or thematic CSEPs to identify people that they might not otherwise identify that are that could be partners, either in their region or along, or on their topic. So I'm really hoping that we're able to bring these communities together. I mean, and the other major list, which I think that there's a lot of overlap with, is the tri-agency listserv, climate change education listserv, which all the CSEP phase ones belong to, but also all the other NSF, NASA, and NOAA, and potentially a few other climate change education efforts are part of.
The only clarification I would make there is that NSF, as far as I know, is only focused on the CSEP Phase 1 climate change education grants, not all the ISE and math science partnerships, and there's a ton of other NSF stuff that isn't on that list because they didn't want to go too wide. So there is still some room to bring other NSF-funded projects in through climate literacy that don't come in through the tri-agency.
Well, one avenue which we can talk about is that the CADRE, which is the organization that is coordinating all of the DRK-12, NSF DRK-12, Discovery Research K-12, their TI meeting is in June, and they're asking now for session proposals, which I think are due by January 17th. And they actually provided a list of all the DRK-12 proposals that had environmental education focus. So what I was hoping to do there is to propose a session around climate change and get those projects that were interested together and talking. And so we could potentially bring those into this discussion. I don't know if we can add them to the tri-agency listserv, but we can certainly communicate with them.
Mm-hmm. I think inviting people to the community so that they can share and learn and is you know, but whether we do it for them or they do it themselves is another question. It probably is more inviting than automatically doing.
Yeah, well, I happen to have a DRK-12 project, which is why
exactly.
I invited there anyway. So,
yeah.
Okay. Are there any other thoughts that people have concerning the solicitation? I know it's rather early, and there have been a number of emails that have been sent out by various members of the Climate Literacy Network about wanting to partner. So, Jeff, I'm not going to really put you on the spot now, but I know that you're probably going to be putting together a proposal. Is there anybody else on the phone who is part of a CSEP Phase 1 that will be moving forward?
I would honestly expect most of the Phase 1s to want to do something. The question is whether it's a question of how they're going to sort of connect with one another,
mm-hmm.
because we can all do the math. Right, there's 15 of them,
right.
And there's not going to be 15 new projects. So,
right.
I think the opportunity to network and for folks to really hear what people are doing. I mean, that's been the hardest part of this exercise is just trying to keep track of what people are up to.
Right.
I mean, we had the tri-agency meeting, which was was back in March, which now feels like ages ago because most of the CSEPs were barely getting going at that point.
Right.
We had AGU as a venue for some discussion, but really we had more of a social event there than a real meaty discussion about what people are doing and what, you know, where there could be synergies. And obviously I've tried to have conversations at GSA and AGU and in other venues with other CSEP leads to just sort of get a sense of what's happening. But I can't say I know everything that's going on. And, mm-hmm. and you know, what's clear from the from the solicitation and from the dollars they're able to invest is that we're not going to be able to do everything for everybody. So we're going to have to find ways of of linking together and coming up with, you know, sort of synergistic synergistic sets of activities that we're each doing that then will then feed the whole, because the overall budget's a reasonable budget, but the individual budgets for the projects are relatively modest.
Mm-hmm.
For what it is they want to accomplish.
A million a year.
Sounds like a lot of money until you actually start doing stuff.
Right.
Especially a bunch of partners.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Jeff, I know that they keep making the point over and over again in the solicitation that you don't have to be a CSIP Phase 1. They say you don't even have to be the 2009-funded project, but to apply, and that's true. But I can tell you just by my experience over the last year that mm-hmm. if you're not a CSIP Phase 1, there's very little chance you're going to be able to fit into the rigorous structure that they've defined.
I agree. As I looked at it, you know, I read the solicitation and saw that, and I wasn't really surprised to see that. You know, I spent my time on the other side of writing these things, and they can't. It's relatively difficult for NSF to write a truly restrictive solicitation. So there is a set of approvals they have to go through for that. And so in this case, they had to leave it available to a broader audience, but they set the constraints as, you know, you pretty much have to have accomplished exactly what a CSET Phase 1 is supposed to have accomplished. And, you know, that's hard to do off your own dime.
Yeah.
So.
Also, you know, to the level and also in the timing that you just happened to have found another vehicle to get all that work done, and you're kind of hitting the same milestones as everyone in Phase 1 is.
That's right. I don't see it happening. And you know, and so really then it really becomes a question of how do the folks who are engaged in this, you know, fit the pieces together, and what's really got to happen in that regard. And you know, that's, I think, you know, the reason there are 15 projects is because there were 15 good reasons to be funded. And I don't have a good picture in my head of how all this gels.
Do you have a sense of which ones might be partnering together?
That's the hard part. I mean, there are CSEPs that are focused very strongly in certain educational venues. I think it's Made Clear that's up in Maryland. I'm probably getting them all mixed up now, but there's one that's really focused on K-12 education. Okay.
Yeah, that's Made Clear.
Yeah, and K-12, you know, and they're not going to, just by the nature of what they were doing, they're not going to be able to do some of the broader things that are laid out in the Phase 2 solicitation, so they're going to have to link up with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, you have New England Aquarium leading a Phase 1, and they're focusing very exclusively in the informal science realm, but every CSEP is supposed to have somebody from the informal science world involved with it. So there are these, you know, they allowed a broader, you know, they allowed a somewhat broader menu of project types to happen in Phase 1, I think, to run the experiment and see what was going to have traction. And now what's really going to come down to is how do we come up with an efficient way to do this? And, you know, the challenge here is NSF can't organize it. They don't have the mechanism beyond money, no money, to organize anything. And so it really comes down to the people who are in the field to figure out how to organize themselves into an effective whole. And, you know, that's what's going to have to happen now in the next 3 months, give or take.
So, unfortunately, I have to scoot. I have another conflicting appointment. But, Tamara, would it be appropriate for the Climate Literacy Network to invite people who want to begin having these conversations to, you know, just, I mean, do you guys all know each other, or is it just that you haven't had that, or would facilitating that conversation be helpful, or would it be seen as interfering?
I would like to jump in and say I think we need to do it. I, Caroline Lewis, I represent both my CLIO project and the American Public Garden Association, and public gardens are urgently looking for partnerships to jump into climate change education and literacy. So I would love to speak on behalf of APGA for potential dovetailing. We've got 500 member gardens, And I know of 106 right now that are looking for NSF partnerships. So I'd like to do that, Frank.
Okay. So sorry, last thought, and is maybe if we can kick around some strategies that would facilitate points of contact and approaches, and that maybe it's topical, maybe it's geographic, or maybe there's some way to say we can open up these doors, and sometimes it doesn't have to be through the network call, it can be done through email. And then sidebar, but just giving people access to networks and partnerships and organizations who are leaning forward.
Yeah, we can certainly do that. I mean, I think that this is the perfect venue for it, for not only the partnerships that may emerge between the Phase 1 CSEPs, but, as Caroline mentioned, the broader connections to the networks of other organizations. Because, Caroline, you're in Florida, right?
I'm in Florida, but I've got to tell you now, I consult and I do a lot of work with gardens in just about every state.
Yes, I know, but my point is that Jeff is also in Florida.
I'm in Tampa.
Yeah, well, there we go. I want to advocate that those of you moving on in another grant to follow up, to look at some of the gardens, the public gardens in your areas and out there, that so many of them are doing wonderful work and their outreach. It's growing.
And this really denotes the challenge here. I mean, there are many, many, many people playing in this arena, all of whom we really want to talk to, and it's been a struggle just to try to keep up with the numbers.
Right.
You know, I think we've done a pretty good job of networking across Florida, and we haven't met yet. And
yeah.
And I'm getting stuff from the Miami Science Museum and a few other folks that have sent me stuff since the Phase 2 came out, who we just haven't had the opportunity. You know, there's just so many hours in the day and so many people that you can contact. So,
well, I would love to chat. I'm at Pinecrest Gardens now. That's where the Clio Institute is based. And that's a small botanic garden with a lot of mites. And right next to Fairchild and Montgomery Botanical. So we got some good possibilities, just us. But I do want to speak for many other gardens, too, whose research and education programs want to get amped up around climate literacy, and I think would make fine partners for some of the CSEPs.
Well, I think what we might try to do is offer an invitation. We do have the venue where the various CSEP Phase 1s are going to be giving talks the next couple of months, and we can use some of the in-between times. We can also offer possibly an hour after this one, so basically back-to-back hours where we can continue a discussion among the CSEP Phase 1 to just explore possibilities without anybody having to commit up front to anything.
Correct.
But just to explore those possibilities of partnerships.
This
is Lynn Cherry. And when we were at the Academy of Sciences meeting, someone from NSF got up and said that they were really eager to see our proposals, but that it was really important that if in whatever proposal we submitted that there was this element of civic engagement. And so I wanted to mention, since the two Floridians on the phone, there's two groups. One is called ECOMB, and the other is Dream in Green. And they are both doing a lot of outreach with civic engagement and film. And so if anyone wants to...
I'm very, very familiar with both of them, Lynn, and I do think they're doing very, very good work.
Great. So maybe they could be part of a proposal. Just keep it in mind.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I think you have to... I saw the civic engagement comment in email correspondence, and I went looking for it in the solicitation. It didn't explicitly see it there, but I think you have to. I mean, the ambition of this effort is to really try to encourage people to get people to change behavior, and you can't do that on a broad scale unless there's public education at some level. So we've got to find ways of reaching beyond the usual. We got to find ways of reaching beyond the usual audiences. That it can't be just a pure academic audience. It can't be a pure informal audience. We have to be able. They want pretty ambitious, pretty broad reach kinds of projects, as far as I can tell from reading that solicitation.
Well, I don't know if you were there when I presented on the CLEO project, but that's exactly what I'm trying to do now, to broaden the access to this conversation. And quite frankly, it's taking off faster than I can handle, and I do think that we need to share strategy so that we're partnering and giving these people who are finding their voice access to credible resources. And now I have to get evaluation teams that do justice to their responses so that, you know, these 3-minute and 3-page responses that personalize their response, that they get some pats on the back for getting it right, even if it's a tiny nugget of it, and a redo if they've missed the boat on something. Nobody fails. They just get as many redos as they need. So I think formalizing and blending formal and informal education and informal learning centers with some rigorous science is right where we are. And truthfully, I think gardens in general have much more capacity to partner successfully on these grants with you all, as well as zoos and aquaria for sure, then do the Dream and Green. Dream and Green is a beautiful small nonprofit. My CLEO Institute is a small nonprofit. You know, I have the ability to consult and do some work with any of you, but I don't have the staffing capacity yet to really jump into an NSF grant. And so I think that the conversation should be for these institutions that are trying to find traction, reach really broad audiences, and want to partner with you all. And so I kind of want to do some homework so I can maybe point out a few of them that I'm very aware of that are looking for this sort of synergy.
So, and for those of you who missed Caroline's presentation, it was on October 25th, and the abstract and the slides and the audio recording of the presentation are all on the teleconference schedule on October 25th, 2011. So people are interested in seeing what she's up to before she gets, they had a chance, if they don't have a chance to talk to her, you can go there.
Yeah. Great. Oh, by the way, let me just put it out there. I would love some funding to help research how effective this sort of public engagement model is, because doing it without a formal evaluation plan is slowing it down a bit in my mind. You know, I'm doing it because it's just got to get done, but I would like to structure it a little bit.
Oh, I'll have to talk to you, Caroline, because just last week I met with a team of evaluators from from Virginia Tech, and it's exactly that. It's to create an instrument by which you can evaluate the efficacy of these projects.
Make exactly. My day. Yeah,
we'll
please
talk.
Email me. Thank you. This is why I like these calls.
Hey, any other thoughts on the CSEP Phase 1 solicitation or others?
Okay. I'll just say that, this is Lynn, that I'm sort of in the same boat as Caroline, where I don't have a staff to write an NSF proposal, but we have programs and materials that I would love to share with anyone writing a proposal.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Martha Shaw. I missed the last couple calls. I was in Durban and everywhere, so I'd be very happy to try to help coordinate a proposal among people if you want some help. I think Lynn's coming up to New York this month, and we can talk about it then.
Okay, thank you.
Right. Oh, and I just wanted to report, this is Caroline, I got 10 members of my family to commit to answering the CLEO project question by February 14th. So I think I got 30%. I'm very happy with myself.
We had a discussion about this a couple of weeks ago, so looking for strategies, that's great.
Yeah, yeah. I learned a lot of tricks from all of you. Thank you for sharing.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for this.
All right, so if there are no other comments, we will have Stephanie Fearman, who is the PI of the CSEP Phase 1 Polar Learning and Responding Polar Climate Partnership, will be presenting next Tuesday on her efforts. So we will talk to everybody then.
Okay.
That's great.
Bye. Have a safe trip, Tamara.
Good to hear you all.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks.
Bye now.
Thank you.